Your hands toward heaven and talk to the Lord for another 1 minute. Mela havoria hanata huze hadidiaste. Manora hadi la kazuza havene hayano maragade. Mila hadaduria handako varahadia. Zanda kiba harozos. Melegida hadadora hadina handakabash. Braha hadia. Lebrendo sapakare lahuria nanashk. Inda kiba harado shabalani nahadika hadis. Braga gasketelia vanda kibo rahanda toleash. O brahakizo salamande. Vehila gahasto. Branda kila bragadidis kada. Thank you, Father. We love you, Lord. We honor you. We extol you as King. Have your way this morning and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You can be seated. I want to share with us this morning on the urgency in the heart of the Father as touching the business of the kingdom. Time is a dot in the cycles of eternity. The project of man is not God's first project. As an eternal being who has no beginning or end, everything you come to know and see is a reality within him. And according to the design of time, of man, the context in which man was permitted to exist in is a context that is framed into time. And so everything we do have a cycle. Because our existence is captured in time, it's of necessity that we understand essence from an eternal perspective. Because when our sojourn on the face of the earth is over, we will return to a context that is not regulated by time. And what will be an experience in that context that is not regulated by time will be a function of how we lived while we were in time. So what gives time relevance is not its duration. What gives time relevance is the fact that time affords you an opportunity of gaining an eternal status. A status that would not have been procured except as you were given the liberty to walk in time. And so when a man walks through time, and he does not understand the wisdom that crystallizes from the realms eternal, he will waste time thinking he's living. Because life on this side is not breath. It is the ability to do the will of the Father to a degree that you strike a chord in the realm where it matters. You may be 70 years old. When the immortals begin to weigh you, they will not weigh you based on how long you have lived. Because what they consider value in that realm is not duration. It is the moments that you allowed on earth to resonate in eternity. So they judge men based on moments. And every moment that we strike a chord in eternity will become a memorial before God. And so when we live through time, our prayer point is not God give us long life. It's God add life to our days. So that as we walk through time, we will have many moments that will be memorials before Abba. Because the greatest of us all, we pass away like the flowers of the field. And when we pass away, those moments will not go with us. They will go before the Father and they will appear before Him. And so this morning, as I talk about kingdom, I want to express by the help of the Holy Spirit the things that truly matter before the Father. The things that will make our lives to count when we are judged before the light that knows no corruption. When we appear before the crystals of heaven and our life is weighed in the balances of eternity, what are the things that the Father will look upon? You know, when you begin to study Hebrews chapter 11, the things that the immortals judge are the things that were captured there. In Genesis chapter 22, the Bible said God had blessed Abraham with silver with gold and with cattle. But when we went back to the annals of eternity and the life of Abraham was weighed, unfortunately, there was no cattle there. There was no silver there. There was no gold there. But when you are studying the life of Abraham in Genesis, the zenith of Abraham's blessings was the fact that he had gold that could not be numbered. How come when we scroll out of time and we get into eternity and Abraham was being x-rayed before the immortals, they didn't see the gold that he had? Because in that realm, gold have no value. The value of the currency of that realm. When we enter the realms eternal, the only thing God considered was the fact that Abraham had so much faith in him that even the child that he waited for 25 years, when God gave a commandment, he was willing to leave him. That one could not be captured in the bank, but in the banks of eternity, that step of faith could not be erased from the sands of eternity. He said when God commanded him to let go of Isaac, he judged him faithful because he knew that he was able to raise him back in a figure. What happened to the gold? Because when the immortals come to eternity, the things that time value have no value in their realm. And so when a man is not schooled in the things of the spirit, he may live only for the things that are relevant in time. But unfortunately, when your moments on earth are over, you will be stripped of this garment and your spirit man will appear where you don't carry anything that is natural. At those moments, they will check you based on the chords that you struck. You know, the keyboard has many keys, but my brother is striking the chord that resonates with this moment. That's how life is played out in the spirit realm. So what are the things that matter? You know, when you begin to walk with God, there are three major cadres. The first cadre of our walk with God is as children. In 1 John chapter 2 from verse 12, when the wise patriarch of old was writing, he said, I write unto you, children, because your sins have been forgiven you for his namesake. You know, as a child, you are dealing with a dimension in God that compares and obligates him to supply your needs. The dimension of God that manifests to man first is the dimension of a father. And because his father, he has no choice to provide his needs. And so what children are known for is to receive from God. And so when your faith and your walk with God, the totality and the summary of your walk with God is about what you receive from God. No matter how big it is, in the realms of eternity, you are a child. You can get a car. You can get a contract. So long as it has to do with receiving, he said, you are a child. And so one of the things he picked, which is the major amongst all the things we receive from God, is forgiveness of sins. Because forgiveness of sins brings us into a relationship with God. And that means receiving is not God's priority. What God is interested in is a journey with him in the spirit. But because you need to receive to be able to walk with him, he begins at that level. And so he said, children have the right to take everything that he has. Good life, long life, health, prosperity, and there's nothing wrong with it. All of us, we need to keep receiving from God. He said, but there is a realm that is superior to that, because God is not only a father. When you deal with God as father, you will make demands, and God will have no choice, because the fatherhood of God is predicated upon the love of God, and the love of God predisposes him to provide our needs. He said, but there is a journey beyond the child. And so he went further. He said, I write unto you, young men, because you are strong, because the word of the Lord abides in you, and because you have overcome the evil one. These ones are no longer receiving from the Father. That's around verse 13 and 14. I'm trying to paraphrase. They are not just receiving from God anymore. They have come to a level with God that they are now asking, Lord, what is it that you need? Because in all my dealings with you, I've come to ask you, and you never said no. Do you ever need anything? And so on account of their walk with God, they have peeped into the heart of God, and they discover that there is an advisory that wants to fight the kingdom of God and everything that pertains to God. He is called the evil one. So what they told themselves is that, so long as we are here, everything that adversary wants to achieve, we will truncate it. And so he says, so the young men, they don't just take from God. They find out what the devil is trying to do to counteract the purposes of God, and they fight to destroy it. And he said, these ones, they don't even need to come bother God anymore. They have carried the word of God in their spirit like a weapon. And so anywhere the devil is, they find him and they destroy the works of the devil. You know, when the Son came into the world, he said, for this purpose is the Son of Man made manifest, that he may destroy the works of the devil. The reason is because that's a burden in the heart of God. When God sees iniquity in the territory, he wants to reach out, but God can't fight creation, because if he breathes, creation will melt. If he coughs, the earth will collapse. So even though God has a body to change the things on the earth, he is too big. Imagine if you want to fight with an ant. Anything you do, you will kill the ant. So even though God had a body, has a body, he can't do anything. So he's looking for sons that will go into the arena to challenge the devil and say, oh, you want to compromise the integrity of my father? My father doesn't need to show up. I am here. He said, those ones are called young men. But you see, if your Christianity is at the level of, Father, give me bread, give me wine, he will keep giving you. But the kingdom cannot go forward. The problem of our country today is not because God is not powerful. It's because there are too many babes in the church. And so when you see 1 million Christians gather, it's about bread and wine. There are no sons. So many times when we pray to God, God is actually praying to us. He said, grow up. There is an assignment that you need to carry out. You didn't come to time to eat and to drink. That's why I said the kingdom of God is not, it's not meat and drink. There is a business that is superior to what we wear. There's a kingdom that needs to advance. There's a demon, a devil that is raging like a white horse. I'm looking for the sons that can stand at the gate and fight the battles of Elohim. Where are the young men? He said, they are no more. So John said, I write unto you, young men, because you are strong. You have prepared yourself to defend the integrity of your God. You know, when Israel was battling Goliath, they had lived to enjoy the covenant and they had forgotten the weapons of war. And so when Goliath showed up, for 40 days he despised the armies of God. There were no sons until David showed up, and he had a different burden in his heart. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defileth the armies of God? Now, it takes a lot of transactions in the spirit for a man to get there. Because a man is not a son because he has everything he needs. A man becomes a son when the burden in his heart becomes everything God needs. So Paul will say, I have learned how to abound and to abase. So even when I don't have nothing, so long as the purposes of God are achieved, I will be in joy. You don't find me laughing because I won a contract. Is it good to win a contract? Yes, God wants to give me. But when I'm laughing, sometimes I have nothing. But if you check deeply, I have done something that pleased God. You know, when the writers of scriptures, men who had access to the heavens, began to show us certain things from the backside, they told us, when one soul is won, it's a heaven rejoice. So a man may be without money, but he knows that he can make heaven rejoice every day. That will make him walk in so much joy that nothing can deplete him. But when you find a child happy, he got something. And the day he has nothing, he's gloomy. And then you say, what's happening? He said, this country. He doesn't know that the hope of that country is not in heaven. It's in the church. Is he a right unto you, young man? Because you are strong. The word of the Lord abides in you. The reason is because these ones don't know Father alone. Apart from the Father, they have also known another dimension of God. That dimension is a king. A king has a kingdom. And so the burden in the heart of the young man now is not how to survive. He has gone past that level. Because the truth is that when you grow, you will discover that all things are yours. And you will not need to bug God to succeed. Because all things are yours. You can apply the principles of the kingdom and advance. And so when you come to God, you are looking for a deeper business than just having bread and wine. And if you check carefully, you discover that the principles of success are universal. Because the mercy of God necessitates it. That's why Mark Zuckerberg doesn't need to pray to be wealthy. That's why Dangote doesn't need to pray to be wealthy. They are universal principles. Meanwhile, we have couched our Christianity around what we can take from God. And the godless man who doesn't even call on the name of the Lord is doing better in that realm. There is a higher realm where you want to look for that which God wants to achieve that no other person can do except a man empowered of God. That's the realm of his son. No matter how educated they are, it's not intelligence that makes it happen. It's a burden in the heart of God. He said, because thou lovest righteousness and hated iniquity. It's not something you just desire. It's a burden that God puts on your spirit. And so when you see the kingdom of God suffering, you put your head on the line. Because for you to live is Christ. To die is gain. I rather perish, because if I perish, I perish. But that which God wants to do must be done. It takes sonship to get there. That's where kingdom begins from. The man who functions like that does not only know the Father, he knows the Son. And so every time that man comes, he's looking for how to make his father happy. Even in biological sense, we understand it. That when your son is 30 years old and he comes back and asks you for food, you tell him, go out and walk. You have grown up. If our sojourn on earth does not graduate from knowing a father to the king, we will be useless in eternity. Because when you know the king, you want to advance his kingdom. I write unto you, young men, I can't go into the third part, because that one is a syllable of eternity. I write unto you, fathers, you have known him that is from the beginning. If you have not perfected how to win the battles of God on earth, you can't do that which is from the beginning. And the burden in the heart of God, like every other king, is to see his kingdom advance. Is to see his kingdom spread. Is to see his kingdom dominate the visible realm, so that he will be remembered and worshipped as a God and as a God of all flesh. And so the Bible makes us understand in Matthew chapter 6 verse 9, when Jesus was praying, he said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Because God is Father. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 17, Paul gave us another dimension. He called him the King Eternal. The King Eternal. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1, he went even deeper. He called him that will judge the quick and the dead. Because you meet God that gives you all things that you desire, then you now meet the God that has a burden that you need to accomplish, and then you meet the God that will judge you based on the degree to which you satisfied his purpose while you lived on the face of the earth. And so you ask yourself, what is that burden in the heart of God? For this morning, I will just tell you about the kingdom. And so Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, he says, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all the things that the Gentiles seek, he said, it shall be added unto you. And then you say, what is the kingdom? In Romans 14:17, he said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. No, it's not. It is righteousness. It is peace. And it is joy in the Holy Ghost. And so when a man begins to interact with the king, he begins to find out the laws of his realm. The first thing he wants to do is that he wants to align with those laws himself. And having aligned with those laws, he wants to ensure that he extends those laws to every other person around his context. If he has not gotten there, then he has not known the kingdom. Because the king wants to colonize you first. And then after having colonized you, he wants to use you as an agent of colonization. So if you are in his context and you are not advancing his kingdom to the degree that you colonize men, then you are not relevant in that kingdom. He can bring you back to the family and be a father to you. But when we talk kingdom, you can't be there. Because in Galatians 4:1, he said the heir, so long as he's a child, He's not different from a servant. Although he's the Lord of all, but when kings speak, that man will be a servant, because he doesn't know the way of righteousness and he cannot advance righteousness until he imbibes the powers and the protocols of righteousness and he begins to advance it. He will be a slave when kings begin to talk. In a family, he can be a member, but when it comes to kingdom, he will be a slave, because the heir, so long as he's a child, is not different from a servant. So the goal, one of our potent goals for living here, is to live righteously and to advance righteousness to our world. And so if we cannot live righteously and advance righteousness, we may have known the Father, but we don't know the King. And if we don't know the King, we can't strike a chord in eternity, because the King sits in heaven. The Father brings his love to earth. For you to strike a chord where he is, you must advance that invincible kingdom in the natural world. My goal this morning is just to pick out two ways by which we can advance this righteousness. Because we are in church. And since we are in church, everybody here is righteous. It's a Bible-believing church. But as I talk about advancing righteousness, if you are not righteous, just in case, you will align. Because colonization must take place. Do you see how good we feel of ourselves when we dress corporate with suit, ties? That is alien to us. We don't know this cloth we are wearing. Some people came from across the oceans and they took away the bente that we used to wear and told us, this is a sin, this is a taboo, throw it away. You are less of a man when you tie those bush and all those things we tie. They now gave us suit and tie. They don't need to be here anymore. But even though they are not here, if we don't wear ties, we feel awkward. That's the power of colonization. They have made us a slave of their kingdom. So even though they are not here, we reflect it. We live it. And it's what defines who we are. Because by the powers of colonization, they have turned us to citizens of their realm. So you wake up in the morning when you are taking tea in Sheraton, you feel like a king. Sometimes you stand at the balcony and then you take tea and you are meditating. You are actually being a British. It's a British person. You are being a British. That's what you are doing. You are practicing how to be a British. But it now makes you feel important. When you wear a suit and you stand in front of the mirror, you adjust yourself and you square your shoulders. And then you are talking. Your confidence is anchoring on a suit. Meanwhile, what you don't know is that an ambassador came into your territory. And by the wisdom and the powers of his realm, he colonized you. So even though he left, you are now a slave. There's nothing you can do about it. That's the kingdom. So what God is looking for is to find men that can come with the culture of heaven. So that when you enter a territory, you afflict that territory. And even though you are not there, when they look at them, they will say, these ones are little Christ. That's what the apostles did. They were not religious men. They were ambassadors of another realm. And when the apostles enter your realm, after a while, you will speak a different language. You will believe a different doctrine. And your lifestyle will change. So much so that only two men called Paul and Barnabas entered the city. They said, these men have turned the world upside down. How can two men talk? They are agents of another kingdom. So everywhere they show up, they afflict you with the governments of Elohim. When they show up, don't let them come into your house, because when they come, the next time they are leaving, you are speaking in tongues. And you will discover that they have turned your world upside down, because the things you believe, you can no longer believe them anymore. That's what kingdom is about. How come we visit our friends and they still live in iniquity? Because we are not kingdom agents. We have known the Father, but we have not known the King. How did the British come to Nigeria and suddenly we became British? We even threw our language away. Now we communicate in English. And then we take so much pride that we can speak good English. Sometimes when people are speaking, they even add some accent to it. Hello, how you doing? You know, I was in the state the other day and I felt... And they feel so good of themselves, because somebody else gave you his language
and kicked yours out, and then you feel important because you speak his language. How come you say you are a child of God and your family can't reflect it? Your territory can't reflect it. That means the British ambassadors, they did a better job than the Christians of Nigeria. Because they know kingdom, we know religion. We think we come to church and carry out religious ritual and the territory will change. No! Having received the kingdom that cannot be moved, men that understand the language of heaven and the governments of eternity must rise again. So when they go into their offices will change and it will become the government of God. That's what God is looking for. He's not looking for religious people that gather together, singing hymns and feeling good. He's looking for a people that can afflict their world with the powers of righteousness so deep that the fornicator will become a righteous man. The Bible told us of two spies. These were not even elders in Israel. They entered Jericho and they met a prostitute. When they left Jericho, that prostitute became one of the progenitors of Jesus Christ. What did they carry? What did they know? And what was the nature of their communication? How come you speak to people in your office? They know you as a government agent, but they don't know you as an ambassador of Jesus, because we have not known the kingdom. We are still at the level of receiving from God, and the kingdom of God is dying. The kingdom of God is suffering. You can no longer find men that say, I will not take the bribe. I will rather lose my job. If you do it now, they call it foolishness, because we have become of this world. We don't know that we are pilgrims on the face of the earth. This is not our home. We were sent from another realm to bring a culture that only exists among the celestials. So that when we enter a place, that place will become a mirror image of the heavenly dimension. But we have forgotten our home. We have forgotten our language. And we have forgotten the lifestyle of the realm where we came from. The kingdom must be preached again. And for that to happen, true ambassadors must rise. You know, we persuade men now to win souls, because we don't know that's the culture of our kingdom. The reason we are called the church is called the ecclesia. We are called out to colonize. You are not a member of a church. You are a citizen of a kingdom. Let me preach my message. The way to advance the kingdom is to make righteousness the culture of your context. If you cannot make righteousness the culture of your office, you are doing a good job, but you are not a kingdom agent. If you cannot make righteousness the culture of your family, you are doing a good job, but you are not a kingdom agent. If you cannot make righteousness the power that rules your friendship, you are just people distracting yourselves. And by the time you leave time into eternity, you realize it. Because there is one thing in the heart of Abba, to see citizens of the invincible realm live in the natural realm. And that assignment he has committed to your hand. So what must we do in order to be relevant in the world to come? Number one is to win souls into this kingdom. You know, when Jesus finished satisfying the claims of divine justice, he went to heaven, and then suddenly he saw Peter gather his friends again and say, I go a fishing. Jesus had to descend immediately from heaven. Go watch a fishing. Do you think I hung on a cross so that you will go a fishing? Come back here, young man. Lovest thou me more than this? John 21 verse 16. He said, Lord, you know I do. He said, the way I will know is by you keeping my lambs. That's why I told you kingdom is not religion. You can kneel down the altar and cry, Lord, you know I love you. How many souls have you brought into the kingdom? Because I have parameters of checking those who love me. I'm not moved when men talk. I want to see their words backed with action. He said, thou believest that there's only one God, thou doest well. He said, the devil also believes and trembles. He said, but oh vain man, faith without work is dead. How do I know you love me? He said, if you love me, keep my lamb. But how do you keep the lamb except you win them first? So what he was telling Peter is, win them and keep them until they begin to win others. Lord, you know if you empower me, I will advance your kingdom. How come you have an empowerment of speech and you have not used that speech to win a soul? How come you are able to sleep in the days when kings go to war? Because you don't know the burdens in the heart of God. So the first priority of God is to see that the world is won over. That's why the Bible defined the love of God by one striking phrase. For God so loved the world. And then he began to give us the different syllables that he gave his only. He didn't have two. Only begotten son. He gave him as a token of his love. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. So the best of God was given for souls. And when that assignment was carried out, he handed the baton to you to do the same. You carry the baton and put it in your wardrobe. And then you come to church every day with suit and tie. No. That was not the assignment. Church is actually an equipping center to energize you to go and do more. If all you do is to come to church and afterwards go to the office, then you have not understood why you came. Because this is not where we shine. We shine in the dark world. We don't shine in the church. We are supposed to shine in the world. The world is the one that needs the light. You came here to receive energizing. So you will go back to the world and win. So every Sunday we return here. The question should be, how many did you get this week? And then you come to the Lord and present men as offerings. You say, Father, I went last week, I came back with three. I went last week, I came back with five. How come you have come to church for 30 years and you cannot point 10 persons that are standing because of you? You don't know the kingdom. If you love me, he said, you will keep my lambs. The burden of soul winning is one of the priorities in the heart of God. And there are three major things that you must do in order to perfect this burden. Because as I'm talking now, some persons may feel like, okay, I will start today. It takes a lot of spiritual protocols to achieve it. That's why even though you wished it, you never did it. But there is a way to begin. Because we are at war. Don't make the mistake of thinking that the fornicator is fornicating just because she doesn't have money. Or just because she feels like it. There are powers that bind men in darkness. There are powers. And that's why this is a kingdom business. Babes can't do it. Because your emotion, we always fight against it. Because it's a warfare. But as many as are willing to do this, there are places in God. You know, I began to talk about the king. The father can give you what you need here. But when we get into the kingdom, there are ranking system in that realm. The same way we are not the same now. All of us are seated here. But in this country, even in this church, there are those that if they speak, Abuja will shut down. They don't need to shout. It is based on where they are in the government. So our life on earth is to give us an opportunity to enter those ranking systems. Because in the world to come, there are those who will be rulers over nations. That one is not the father that allocates it. It's the king and the judge that allocates it. The man who gives men, he said, they that overcome, he said, they shall be given the power to rule over the nations. So they are not only rulers on earth, even in eternity they are rulers. On earth, you may do politics to become a ruler. In the spirit, there is no politics. God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. It's your labor of love that determines where you stand in the world to come. The world where men are given authority as rulers, God will need them to prove it while they walk through time. And one of the ways to do it is the labor of soul winning. I wish I had time to talk about eternity. But for you to become a soul winner and invariably an extender of the kingdom of God, there are three things that God looks forward to. Number one is intercession. Soul winning does not begin with talking to people, because people are not doing what they are doing just because they like it. They are doing what they are doing because there is a power that regulates them. I go to campuses a lot. I find people that come from good backgrounds. They come from very spiritual homes. Their mothers heap advices on them. They heap it. When they want to even go to school, the last day, they wake them up around 5 a.m. and read the same advices their parents read to them
What we don't know is that the serpent in the garden is now a dragon. So the advices that worked 50 years ago may not work now. The moment the children enter the campus, they enter another energy level. So even though they remember the advice of their mother, there's a power that pushes them into iniquity. And so, kingdom begins with warfare in the spirit. It said in 2 Corinthians 4:3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whose eyes have been blinded. So the people are not walking in sin just because they love it. They are blinded. Before you talk to them, you must remove the veil in prayer. And this is why God rewards men. Because when you pray such prayer, sometimes you will delve into melancholy. You will intercede until you begin to agonize. Because as you pray that kind of prayer, what the Father does is that He reveals to you what is in His heart. And then you will see the burden the Father has for a nation. Sometimes He will put it on you while you are there praying for Abuja. While you are there praying for Nigeria. And then you discover that you don't even have enough vocabulary to pray that kind of prayer. Because just yesterday, somebody macheted a girl of 5 years old. How do you pray that kind of prayer? Just yesterday, 1 million people aborted. Just yesterday, 1,001 people were murdered. Just yesterday, when you check the record, you will come to a point where articulate words. You won't know whether you should pray, Lord, have mercy, or pray, Lord, judge them. So what the Holy Ghost will do is that He will rest upon you. And then you discover that your utterances are withdrawn. And you are just groaning. What you are doing at that time is not the business of mortals. You have entered a realm where only mortals who understand judgment from the crystals of light can make verdict. And for earth to be rejuvenated and reconstructed, such warriors must arise again. And that's why when God looks upon men that win soul, He's looking at people that His obsession is over. Because those are the men that fight the battles of the spirit realm. When was the last time you traveled over a soul? I know you prayed for a contract. I know you prayed for marriage. I know you prayed for family deliverance. But when was the last time you prayed over a soul and say, Lord, this one must stand? Do you know why the Bible says when one soul is won, heaven rejoice? Do you know the beings that are in heaven? The Bible spoke about the four beasts. He said they had the face of a lion, the face of an eagle, the face of an ox, the face of a man. How do such beings laugh? How do such beings rejoice? Is it the face of the lion that rejoices or the face of an eagle? Because what you are doing is a mystical transaction. There is a place where man changes from mortality into immortality. So the utterances, the things God say, you can't even interpret them by cognitive terms. Because such men are no longer ordinary men. And that's why the jealousy of God can be upon one man. And then you are wondering, Lord, are you biased? I'm not biased. You are of different rank. I can allow 1,000 men leave the world. This one will remain here. Because he's actually the salt of the earth. It is for these ones that iniquity cannot cross the threshold. It is for these ones that evil cannot have a few days. So for such men, God can bypass a nation. And then you are wondering, how? His voice thunders in heaven to ensure that the justice system of heaven finds expression upon the earth. You think those are ordinary believers? No. Those ones are ranking agents in the kingdom. When a man wants to grow, there are certain businesses he must involve himself in. It is the travail over souls. In Colossians 4:12, he said, Epaphras is one of you, but he's different. He said, this one is a born servant of Christ. He said, he labors fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. These are the kind of men that the Bible said, the world is not worthy for their names to be mentioned. You may not know what they are doing, but sometimes the reason you came to church is not because of the announcement. It's because there are few intercessors here that say, Lord, anybody who comes here will not leave until he's transformed. You may not know them, but when you get to heaven, they may walk up to you and say, I was in the same church with you. And then you are wondering, how come I never saw you? Well, you didn't see me on earth, but the angel saw me. Because every day I make an appearance in heaven and I intercede for souls. Because that's the realm where you can't come with your bank account. In that realm, you come with your labor of love. You carry it
And then when you show up with it, it becomes a fragrance before God. He said, the prayers of the saints, he said, it ascend to heaven as odors. And they are what? Stored. God stores them in golden vials. Because when God wants to carry out a legislation on the earth, he will open those fragrances. And the utterances of those men becomes the reason why God can step into earth and it will be just. Because the earth is for the sons of men. God gave himself a restriction. Every time you see God show up, a man rose in the spirit. So when Jesus showed up, Paul was going to Damascus to kill the believers. And Jesus showed up in from heaven. So, why persecutest thou me? He said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And suddenly, Jesus meets a man and he told him, go into the city. You'll be told what to do. And Jesus went to Ananias because the man is the gatekeeper of that city. You will think the gatekeeper of Damascus is the governor. You are joking. The day Ananias leaves, the system will crash. That's when you understand what God meant when he said you are the salt of the earth. Nobody knew him, but every day Jesus appears to him. And the man was negotiating the destiny of Paul with Jesus Christ. He said, go and bring that man into the kingdom. He said, no, Lord. That's the man that has been persecuting the church. The same Jesus you are reading in the Bible. Somebody is dialoguing the soul of a man with him. And then you think it's all about reading a book and cramming scriptures. Where there are men who are far. He said, bring him. He said, no. Why should we bring this man? Is this not the man that wreaked havoc on the church? He said, no. I have a great assignment for him. And Ananias shows up and meets Paul. And says, brother Saul. He didn't even allow him to introduce himself. Because they had read his details in the lexicon of heaven. Brother Saul, the Jesus you met on the street, on the road, sent me to you. Imagine the realms. Somebody else thinks God is about bread and wine. Another person is discussing with God about souls and about territories. What honor you think when you go to heaven, you will see where those men are seated. But you have the opportunity today. He said, the Jesus you met on your way sent me to you. And he told him, as he prayed for him, scales fell off his eyes and he began to see. And he commissioned Paul into ministry. What powers is intercession? Can I tell you something? You have no right to give birth to a biological child when you don't have a spiritual child. Because the spirit is superior to the natural. If you have grown to a level where you are already giving birth to biological children and you don't have spiritual children, it means that's cancer in the spirit. It's cancerous growth. It's growth out of shape. Because your spiritual life should be older than your physical life. But because we don't know kingdom, we don't travail. In Galatians 4:19, he said, my little children, of whom I travail again in prayer until Christ is formed in you. That's how this man became mighty in the kingdom. And Jesus himself, we never pass a day without whispering to this man. And you wonder, how were they so powerful in the realm? Because they make things happen on earth through prayers. The job of soul winning is not to fill the church auditorium. Because it's not about church. It's about the dark territory. We are snatching men from the kingdom of darkness and we are bringing them into the kingdom of light. When you pray, hear your prayer points. If it's all about what you need, know that you are a child. But when you begin to pray the burdens of God, you are beginning to make progress. The word of today will respond to your selfish and personal prayer point. But the word to come does not recognize your personal prayer point. That word recognizes the burdens of Abba. And the men that will be relevant in that word are the men that pray the burdens of Abba. And one of the burdens of Abba is the burden of soul winning. When you stand, it should be said that, oh, you are 25 years old, but in the spirit, you have 1,000 children. Because you bettered them in the kingdom. And that's why Isaiah 66, it said, as soon as Zion travailed. God is waiting, but until Zion travails, nothing happened. The reason nothing seems to be happening is because there are no travelers. The first protocol of soul winning is for travelers to be born. Some people will leave this meeting and they will adopt Abuja. Some people will leave this meeting, they will adopt Nigeria. Some people will leave this meeting and they will adopt Africa. It depends on the size of your womb in the spirit. You may be able to take a child. Another person can take triplets. Others can take five. If your womb can take a soul, begin with a soul. And say, this month ends not until I win a soul into the kingdom. If your womb can take a city, take a city. And when you go to pray, you groan over that city. The day you start having joy is when you sense light over that city. You now discover that Zion have brought forth. That's how men check their lives in the spirit. Spiritual men calibrate their life by the things they bring into God's kingdom, not by the things they take out of God's kingdom. Anybody can take anything out of God's kingdom. Only few can bring things into God's kingdom. They are the men that have wombs in the spirit. They have wombs. They have wombs. The second way is to go out and preach. After you have prayed, then God expects you to go out. When you begin to study soul winning, you discover that everything there is labor. That's why many cannot. Because the baby wants to cross his leg and say, Daddy, is there breakfast in this house? But when a son wakes up, he's looking for what to do because he wants to add value. It's all labor from beginning to end. You will go out, and sometimes it can be so demeaning. You go to a little person and then you talk to the person and he looks at you like this. You and all of those fake people, all of Nawe, they fake. That's how they say it. All these fake people, get out from here. You will now look at yourself. Am I the one? This person can't even book an appointment with me. That's where you learn humility and long-suffering. The one you read in the book will be in your brain. This one will enter your heart. I stood up. I said, I will take the kingdom for Jesus. So I went to a secondary school. I met the woman. I said, we need to catch them young. Because she was a Christian. I thought it was English language. We need to catch these people young before they get into the university so that we, you know, we establish them in the kingdom. She said, I don't mix my job with my profession. Live here. I turned around. That was when I discovered preaching is not English. Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and life. if it's not spirit and life, you can't change anything. That was when I discovered the fear of the Lord on earth is now 0.5%. That people have become godless. I discovered that people know God no more. He said, the people of God, they no longer know the Lord. There's no teaching priest in the land, and they know not the law. You will go out. That's when you will see the God of power. And when I realized it and followed the protocol and prayed and went out, I began to see the finger of God. I thought the finger of God was for some special Christians. I thought the finger of God was for prophets and apostles. That's when I realized that word of knowledge is not a prerogative of a prophet. Word of knowledge is a dimension of God that answers to a need per time. That's when I discovered healing is not for an evangelist. I discovered healing is a dimension of God that answers to a need per time. Because even before I was ordained, I went to places, and when I spoke, I saw the Holy Ghost came out to back it. I now knew that to make God your partner is when you enter the field of evangelism. God is waiting for those who will go out to labor so that he can partner with them. He said in Mark chapter 16 verse 20, he said, and they went out, and the Lord walking with them. You want the Lord to walk with you, it may not be in your office. I know you want to invoke God into your office, and then you say, Lord, sit on this chair before I sit. Because you want to be preserved in your office. That's beautiful. But if you continue like that, after a while, when you say, God, sit here, we say, get out. I'm outside. Our relationship is built on selfishness because we don't know the kingdom. Imagine if your wife came to you and every day your wife calls you, honey, she needs something. The next time she say, honey, you say, what do you need? Because you know there's no relationship here. This thing is a contract built on deception. And that's how we walk with God. You want to see God walk with you? He said, come into my harvest. He said, they went out. The Lord walking with them, confirming his word with signs and wonders. When that God walks with you on the field, he will not leave you when you come to the office. The same God that walked with you in the field will follow you to the office. And then you'll discover that you are trying to get a design as an architect. And then when you are laboring, trying to remember what they taught you in school, an angel will stand by your side. And then he begins to whisper to you the dimensions. Because before you read architecture, there was a man called Noah that built a ship for 100 years. And all the dimensions were downloaded from the spirit realm. That's when you have an edge over your colleagues. Because all of us, we work hard. All of us, we be diligent. All of us, we be faithful. All of us, we have degrees and masters. But in addition to diligence, hard work, and degree, there is an advantage that the believer is supposed to have. It's called the ministry of the Holy Ghost. But if you don't go to the field, you will not have that advantage. How did Esther come out and suddenly the king identified her? Because in addition to beauty, there is a favor that she wore. Why was that favor upon her? If I perish, I perish. When God heard it, when that lady came out, God could not leave her. The same God that walks with you in the field will walk with you into the crisis. And when the Lord walks with you into the crisis, you will discover that the crisis will become promotion. Because even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The reason people are praying and not seeing result is because they don't know the God they are praying to. You will know him when you go to the field. Because there are many things he can't teach you in the Bible school. He will teach you when you go to the field. You will find the God that killeth and maketh alive. You will find God that dwells in the secret place. You will find the God that answers by fire. He's in the field, you will find him. And when you know that God, you will fear nothing that man does to you. Because you have become his property. You have become his agent. We have too many people sleeping in times of war because they don't understand the stakes of the spirit. And so, because God is obsessed about soul winners, he said in Proverbs chapter 11 verse 30, he said the tree, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. He said he that winneth soul is wise. See what God calls wisdom. You would think wisdom is knowledge. I know how to put A and B together. That's not what he's talking about. It's in Daniel 12 verse 1 to 3 that he explains what it means by wise. Because this wisdom he's talking about is something that will give you an advantage in eternity. If you read Daniel chapter 12, he said in that day, Michael, the angel of, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble. This is where you know those who are wise. The things they have done have secured for them something in the day of trouble. He said there will be a time of trouble such as never was seen. Was a nation even that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Everyone that shall be found written in the book. He's talking about the end of time. So there is a kind of wisdom you have that you secure eternity. In verse 2, he said, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to everlasting shame and contempt. And in verse 3, he made you know what he said. And they that shall be wise, he said, they shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever. So there is something we do on earth. When you win a soul, you think you added somebody to the kingdom. In the spirit, a star was added to your head. And so when we appear in eternity, they are men that will glitter like the Lord of hosts himself. Because while they were on earth, they were paying and doing the labors of that king. So when they go to eternity, one of the rewards of eternity is the garment of light. And you will find a man that will spark like the very brightness of the firmament, because he learned something that ordinary mortals did not know. Why others think it's just about survival? Somebody has adopted a philosophy of selflessness and said, Lord, what will you have me do? And immediately, he became the greatest of them all. The calling and the demands of soul winning is not for the poor. It's not for the young. The office of a soul winner is not for male or female. It's for they that shall be wise. They that desire to shine like stars in eternity. Because this world is a transient realm. It will surely come to an end. And this life is not eternal on this side. It's actually eternal on the other side. But what you do here is an advantage. Don't be like that tourist that traveled to Dubai and spent all the money he took to Dubai and called his banker to transfer everything he had, and he spent everything in Dubai in 2 weeks. And when he came to Nigeria, he was in debt all his life. You may destroy your life in eternity by how you live on earth. And you can also secure your life in eternity by how you live on earth. One of the ways to do it is to become an ardent soul winner. Please bow your heads and pray. This is introduction. In the second service, we will be a bit volatile. Just bow your heads and talk to the Lord. Two prayer points quickly. Number one, Father, give me the stamina to intercede. Give me the stamina to stand in the gap. Our world is in need. There is darkness ravaging everywhere. I want to have a voice in the realm that it matters. Give me stamina. When men pray, may I not be found sleeping. Give me stamina. Give me stamina to pray your purpose, to bet your will. Give me strength in the spirit. Give me strength. Give me strength. And if you have prayed that prayer, tell the Lord, teach me the way of the soul winner. May I not be barren in the spirit. Cause me to understand the urgency of soul winning. Don't be only educated in the natural. Have you seen a woman who is married and for 10 years is without a child? She can't even sleep. Her life will be full of sorrow because barrenness brings sorrow. If you understood how the spirit realm work, you will discover that you will be in lamentation if you are not fruitful. Jesus said, they that are not fruitful, you should cut them and cast them into the fire. I cannot be barren in the spirit. What does it take to turn men to righteousness? Grant me that grace. Grant me that grace. Grant me that grace. Your beauty is a weapon. Your voice is a weapon. Everything God gave you is not an accessory for show. It's designed for kingdom advancement. Your wisdom and your intelligence is a weapon in the spirit. God is banking on it. Paul was learned, but he didn't brag in knowledge. He used that knowledge to write scriptures that you and I read today. It's a weapon in the spirit. Your business is a weapon. Your office is a platform. You are not a politician. You are an apostle sent to government. You are not a business merchant. You are an apostle sent to the economic world. You are not a housewife. You are an apostle sent to the family. You cannot be barren. A world awaits you, and you must play your part. You are here today because someone brought you. There are many people that should be here, but you have not yet brought them. Tell the Lord, I refuse to be barren. I refuse to be barren. I refuse to be barren.
You were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website or rocomichael.com to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.